Y'all, I'm fired up to be here. I'm an Ohioan. I was born in Columbus, Mount Carmel East, grew up in the Grove City side of town. And so it's awesome to always come back home to the Midwest, see some family. But I'm telling you, I do not miss the winters. I'll be honest. Like, I mean, our winters are like 65 degrees and we're swimming year round. So just roughing it for Jesus. Somebody has to do it. We had an amazing service last service. Pastor Kyle had mentioned it. So many people set free. And I believe today that God has a word for the house. Can you stand to your feet though before you get nestled in? I know some of you are like, what's gonna happen now? Do me a favor, shake it off. Come on, shake off all the anxiety. Shake off all the concern and timidity. Shake off all the frustration, the heaviness, because we're in a society and a culture now where everything feels negative, everything. Turn on the news, it's negative. Most conversations have been very pessimistic and negative. How many of you guys would agree? It feels like we've just been in a season that's never going to end. 2020 punched us in the nose. And we're like, well, maybe 21 will be better. And then 21's even been weirder, right? So lots of negative news. So I want you to do something. I want you to position yourself in a posture to receive. Because you can come as a spectator and just go through the motions and watch Vanessa and the team lead worship up here and leave the same exact way you came in. And if you come in as a spectator, then this is no more than a karaoke moment. Like you checked a box that said, I went to church. But when you position yourself, close your eyes for a moment, in a posture of expectation, you'll walk out set free, healed, and delivered. You'll walk out restored. You'll walk out unanimously in agreement that Jesus was in the room. Because the Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 19 and 20, that if just two or three of us gather in his name, he would be in the midst of us. God, today, I thank you for your presence. Anytime, Jesus, you got in the way of someone's storm, their story changed. God, I pray that today you're rewriting stories. I pray today, God, that areas of marriages that felt like they were falling apart are gonna fall into place. Areas of families that felt like it was hopeless, God, that you would reveal hope today. God, areas financially that it feels like they're in the midst of the squeeze and the crisis. God, I pray today that you would reveal clarity and wisdom. God, areas today where we have no joy, where we need maybe a miracle in our physical body, God, emotional distress to be healed, mental instability to be healed. God, let us walk out today bragging and boasting that you are in the room. And if you believe it, can somebody say amen? Come on, high five the person next to you if you feel comfortable. And don't breathe too heavy, because that weirds everybody out. So I come by way, you can be seated. I come by way of Houston, Texas. Pastor Kyle mentioned it. My wife's roots are right outside of Houston, League City. I actually brought my sweet daughter, Finley. Finley, stand, wave at the people. Come on, give them what they need. Okay, there she's up. She's like a prettier version of me. So she traveled with me, and I actually have a picture. This is my amazing family. I think they're going to throw it up. I'm married so far out of my league, and my wife does look like Kim Possible. And I told people, were like, how'd that happen? She photoshopped. I told her I had money. And she stayed with me because either my money or looks. Y'all figure that one out. So I've got four kids, Brecken, Finley, Daphne, and Fox. And we just celebrated 17 years, which is a miracle in my family. Because I was born into a pretty messy situation, pretty messed up. Addiction-filled family. And so to be married past a year is a miracle, but 17 years, best buddies for 21 years. They're watching online. Give them one more hand because they're watching. I love y'all. Thanks for letting Finley come with me. And before we do anything else, I believe if honor is in you, it comes out of you. You can't fake honor. Adventure Church is one of my favorite churches on the planet. I don't just say it because I have a microphone. I love your pastors because I believe in the character, the integrity, and they are what they say they are. They live the Bible on stage and off stage. And I'm fired up. Now, somebody should shout. I'm excited about y'all's new property, that you're about to break ground, that you're going to build a building. Somebody should shout. That's really good news. And if this is your first time here, welcome home, because this is a place where you can get your roots down deep and be a part of what God's doing here. But can we honor your pastors, Pastors Kyle and Jess Hammond? Amazing. So y'all have been in a series and talking around the table. And I was thinking about it during worship last service, that going into November, Thanksgiving specifically, going into the holidays, sometimes the gathering around the table is stressful. Sometimes the holidays bring a lot of anxiety. And some of y'all are shaking your head. Lady in the back had two hands and a foot lifted. She's like, you have no idea. I know for me growing up, the table was not a safe place. I know for me, we didn't have those peace-filled moments. They say statistically now that the average healthy family only gathers 25% of the time to actually have meals. And we're so consumed with this that most of the time when we're sitting at the table, we're not actually intentional or engaging because we're here. We have a no phone, no technology rule at the table. Finley takes my phone and hides it. And we want to make sure that we're intentional. We want to make sure that we're investing into each other. But maybe the table's uncomfortable. Maybe it's a subject you avoid. Maybe going into Thanksgiving, you have to mentally and premeditate and pre-pray through what you have to endure. But I want to talk this weekend specifically around the gathering of the table, but I want to talk about the subject of peace. Because the truth is, there are two types of peace that we're going to kind of unpack today. One is man-controlled, man-made, something that we can almost make happen in our own humanity. And those are short-lived, fleeting, flickering moments of peace. And that type of peace will get you through some seasons. How many of you guys have had those type of peaceful moments? Like you pay a little bit of debt off, like you did the Dave Ramsey's. That's Nacho Libre. The Dave Ramsey 30-day makeover, and you get a little bit of peace. Like, I can take a breath. I don't have to deal with all those minimum payments anymore. I get a little bit of peace. You go on vacation. You saw that I have four kids, and we got a golden doodle named Bella, who I promise you is like a human in a dog outfit. Like, she is a part of the family. For a dad, where's all the parents at? For the first 3 days, you're trying to figure out how to like actually relax, right? And then day four, you're like, wait a minute, we only have a day left. And day five, you're like, I barely had any moment to decompress, because we can create these moments of peace. Maybe you got a new car and your car no longer smells like a dead body. Like, it actually, it's like, this is a new car, so I get a little bit of peace. Those are short-lived roller coaster moments of peace. How many of you guys have experienced those before? So I started in music. Pastor Kyle had mentioned it. I started as a worship pastor, started on drums and went to keys and played bass and guitar, and I started singing. And there is a term musically called a staccato note. And the staccato note is just that. It's a short-lived, flickering note. So this room has some reverberation. There's some echo, but y'all ready to be inspired? So a staccato note feels like this. Can I get this unmuted? That would have been way more. Okay, could we just, somebody just un, anybody? All right, I'll come back to it. Give creative a hand. They're amazing, but I'll come back. That was actually all part of it. But a staccato note is a short-lived, fleeting note. It comes and it goes. Are we ready now? Can we do this again? In 3, 2, super inspiring. Praise God. You guys are like, I felt the presence of God. Like, no, because it's just that. And this is the way most of us live our lives. We have a little bit of peace. I got the kids down. I don't know if it's melatonin, Benadryl, but they're asleep. A little bit of peace. Wake up. It's Monday. I just got to get through the day. Okay, I can get back in my bed. I got to get to Tuesday. A little bit of peace. And we live our lives in this roller coaster, short-lived, flickering moments of peace. And those man-made moments will get us through some seasons. But today, I want to talk about a different type of peace. It's a peace that Jesus gave us. It's called sustained peace. If you're taking down notes, write this down. God intended for us to live a life of sustained peace. Not these short-lived, flickering moments of peace. This sustained peace is the type of peace that will get you through every season. So when you're at the doctor and they say you're gonna have to walk this out, there's a thread of peace that runs through your life. When you're dealing with a financial crisis, there's a sustained peace that's released in your life. When you're walking out a broken family situation or a family dynamic, there's a sustained peace, because there's something about the keyboard that in itself just sounds like that. But there's this pedal down here called a sustained pedal. And some of you have watched the musicians up here playing. You're like, what is he stepping on down there? There's this pedal that if I step on the pedal and push the exact same note, it sounds like this. It carries out. That's a lot more moving. You can feel a shift happen. I mean, even that one note. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. Just that one note. The name of Jesus Christ. Feels a whole lot better than that. God never intended for us to live a life of these short-lived moments of peace. He said, listen, I want you to live a life of sustained peace. We're going to go to the book of Philippines, or the Philippians. Depends on how saved you are. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. We got a new Christian in here like, I knew it was Philippines. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Watch this. Don't fret or worry, but instead of worrying, pray. So many times we treat the presence of God like the glass box on the wall that says break in case of emergency. There was a season in my life where I treated the presence of God like a painkiller. So I lived these short-lived, flickering moments of peace, and then I would come in to God's presence and I would need like an ibuprofen for a headache. But God said, listen, I want to heal your entire life. So instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, I love this, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. That's a right now word for somebody. Look at the person next to you and say, settle down. Now, dads, husbands, be careful. That could be a trigger word. You say settle down. She's like, don't you tell me to settle down. Mine is, can we just move on? My wife's like, I will cut you. Like, we don't. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. So today we're going to be talking about sustained peace. This is a gift. This is not a peace that comes and goes. This is a peace that will sustain you at the table in the middle of all kinds of noise and chaos around your life. And this is a gift from Jesus, and I'll prove it. Again, this is the word. Everything we do is based upon the word. The foundation of Adventure Church is based upon the word. There's accountability in place that your pastors submit to make sure that the foundation of Adventure continues to be built upon the word. So it's not my opinion. My opinion was to wear these Yeezy and this jacket combo. Now some of y'all are like, do they make that in men's? It's a men's jacket, okay? One lady's like, I think that's a blouse. It's a man's jacket. Okay, so this is the word of the Lord today from Jesus, John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. See, that I leave with you is not, I might leave it with you. As long as you perform and you're perfect, God's never looked for perfection. He's looking for our hearts, right? So I leave you. I give you this as a gift, Jesus says. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. If you're taking down notes, you can just write sustained peace, because this gift that Jesus says, I'm leaving it with you. I literally picture it going before you all the days of your life. Whether you're in your 80s, 90s, wherever you're at, if you're the youngest in the room, there's a sustained peace that Jesus is like, hey, I'm giving this to you and I need somebody to grab this. This is so important. All of us have access to this sustained peace. Like, it doesn't matter how super saved you are. Like, some of y'all dig under your car seat to try to find your Bible so that when you walk in the church, you're like, I'm doing really good. You're like, you just found that. It's a Gideon Bible. You took it from the hotel. That's a Book of Mormon. What are you doing? But this is a gift that we all have access to. Have you ever had access to something you never accessed? You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever like realized like, so Finley and I were in Atlanta's airport yesterday, and for about a year and a half, I would watch people come out of the Delta Sky Club and they would come out with lattes and they would say things like, ooh, get away from me. And I'm like, me? Like, and so I remember talking to my friend Todd, and he's like, bro, why don't you ever go to the Sky Club if you've got these long layovers? I'm like, bro, it's like $40 to go in and drink some coffee and get like little hors d'oeuvre snacks. I'm not paying $40 day pass. He's like, well, I thought you had, and he named this certain credit card. I was like, yeah, I had that. And he goes, bro, you've had access to the Sky Club for free. I'm like, you were lying. He's like, walk up in there, let them just scan your pass. And I guarantee you, they're going to say, Mr. Groves. And I'm like, no way. And literally, I've sat outside and watched these people go in and out, like, oh, you rich people. But I had access and never accessed it. We went to Myrtle Beach, you know, because that's where Ohioans go to the beach. And so we went to Myrtle Beach, and we were checking into this place. And they said, Mr. Groves, because you are a preferred whatever, blah, blah, blah member, because I travel all the time, they're like, we're going to upgrade you from floor one, which my wife picked that room because it's easy to get sunscreen on the kids and just go straight to the beach, right? But she's like, we're going to upgrade you to the concierge lounge. Her voice got all warm. And she was like, there, the views are breathtaking. I was like, what happened to your breath? She's like, it took my breath away. I was like, it really did. Okay. And she's like, the views are amazing. You're going to be blown away. I'm like, okay. So my wife's like, babe, I really wanted floor one. I was like, babe, these are breathtaking views. So it was, I mean, like the nicest top floor, the balcony was incredible. Kids are all excited. There's over 2,000 people at this resort and two elevators and one of them went down. And so the 12th concierge breathtaking floor took a premium 25 minutes one way every time we were trying to get. So every morning my wife would be like, can you go down and get breakfast? I'm like, I'll see you at 2 o'clock. Like it's going to be a 4-hour event and a $9 latte. I'm going to have to go all the way down. And then what happened was because there was one elevator, the doors would open on every floor. So we'd all get in there, floaties, kids sunscreened up, everybody's ready to go. And then boom, the door would open and be like, yeah, sure. Come on in. And then we'd go to the next, boom, next floor. Yeah, sure. Fire code 16, but there's 60 in here now. Like we've got so many people in here. And it took us so long every day. We're checking out on day 6. And the lady's like, Mr. Groves, did you enjoy the concierge floor? And I was like, yeah, but I know the word concierge like has some meaning to it. Like there's some sort of VIP. And I was like, but every day, I'll be honest, with the elevators down, having to come all the way to the lobby for breakfast and coffee every day, I just honestly, it was pretty frustrating. And she goes, whoa, why didn't you access the concierge lounge? And I was like, what was that? Say that one more time. And she goes, what room are you in? I was like, 1248. She was like, when you walk out of your room, if you would have just gone right and walked about 10 feet, there's a little lounge with a key card. And like you would have had breakfast every morning, lattes every morning. I was like, what? She's like, croissants. I'm like, you just said croissants? Like every day we had access to something that we never accessed. So many of us are living our lives right here. And we assume this is as good as it gets. And God's saying, no. You're my daughter. You're my son. I'm giving you access to this sustained peace. But here's the reality. I need somebody to grab this. Some things can be taught, others caught. I need you to catch this. God is not a forcer. He will not force sustained peace on your life. But what he is he's a filler. If you'll make room and you'll access what you have access to, he'll fill you up every time. You need courage, make room, he'll fill. You need joy, make room, he'll fill. You need confidence, make room, he'll fill. And it's all found in his presence. If you're taking down notes, which I encourage you to, Harvard did a study, not like Harvard, like Harvard Community College. Not quite Harvard, it's spelled a little different. Harvard did a study that said if you're a hearer only, you retain 5% of what you hear. That's not a lot. So the only thing you know is that the bearded wonder is from Houston. And he's happy to be there over the middle, like 5%. If you take down notes, your retention rate goes up to 35%. If you take down notes and actually go back and apply it, 90 to 95%. If you have an iPhone, pull it out, take down notes. If you have a Droid, just put it on the floor and kick it under your seat. Okay, I'm sorry. The real pastor will be back next week, I promise. If you are old school and you like to write down on paper, just write it down. My friend right here, take down notes. If not, go back and apply it. Because we never should stop growing. Play-Doh, I tell my kids this all the time, Play-Doh is only fun when it's shapeable and moldable. But Play-Doh is no longer fun. We all know this when they leave it outside that little cup, that little home. So I'm like, what is this? It's just a ball of hard dough. But when we stay shapeable and moldable and we stay pliable, God can still teach us things. Whether you're the youngest or the oldest in the room, if you're taking down notes, write this down. We're talking about sustained peace. We're talking about that safe place, the table that we're invited to. Number one, to live in peace is to walk in faith. To walk in faith. And we recognize the importance of faith not being a sprint, but a marathon. Faith is a journey. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And not only do we have to walk in faith, but running parallel with it is we have to learn to trust God. I told our staff this a couple weeks ago, we're gonna trust him even when we can't track him. We're gonna trust God even in the midst of all of the noise around us, because the gospel literally means good news. And as long as we continue to preach the good news, wake up every day with boldness and confidence. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have when approaching God. See, when you walk in faith, there's a confidence that rises up in you that looks in the mirror in the mornings and says, devil, you're gonna get tired before I do, because greater is the one who's standing with me than the one who's been standing against me. And when we walk in faith, we recognize that faith and trust is our love response to the one who loves us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart. It doesn't say that. It says, trust in the Lord with how much? All of your heart. And lean not. This is super tough when you've got control issues. Where's all my friends who have control issues? I knew some of you are like, I'm not lifting. I will not be controlled. You're not gonna make me lift my hand. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and watch what happens. It says that he will make your paths straight. We find sustained peace when we walk in faith, because faith requires us, this is huge, to relinquish control. And then it takes all the pressure off. It takes the pressure off of our shoulders when we realize we can't fix, restore, that we can't perfect ourselves or even level up. Only God can do this. So again, to walk in this type of sustained peace that gets you through every season, the sustained peace that gets you through every single season, we have to recognize it's a walk of faith. Isaiah 26:3 says this, the Lord gives perfect peace. That's that sustained peace to those whose faith is firm. So faith is, it's a journey. Hebrews 11:1 talks about faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't think I really grasped what it was like to really understand or receive the unconditional love of God until I had kids. When I really begin to watch my kids grow in their relationship with the Lord, it changed the entire dynamic of my relationship with God. It changed my pursuit of his presence differently, because I know that we were designed and created to worship. You can tell the purpose of something by its design. So right now, if I ask you to yell out, count of three, what this is, do it. 1, 2, 3. It's a chair. Everybody knows it. Why? Because of the design. You can tell what the purpose. What is the purpose of a chair? It's to sit in it. Now, there are other things that we could use this chair for, right? Like, I could probably drive a nail into a board with the leg if I didn't have a hammer, right? I could probably, if my wife's like, hey, can you help with Christmas decorations? I could probably jump up on that same chair that's designed to sit and hang Christmas decorations, right? But every time I use this chair outside of the design of what its purpose was for, I end up compromising its integrity, character, and longevity. Because if I use it for what it was designed for, I could pass this chair down to my kids' kids. It's a generational thing. It's a legacy thing. Same is true of our lives. We're all designed and called for a specific purpose. And some of you have been trying to discover that. Some of you are daily trying to walk that out. But anytime we live our lives outside of the design of who God called us to be as daughters and sons, it ends up compromising our integrity, our character, and our longevity. God has a plan and a purpose for all of you. Here's the truth. We're all designed. When I look at you, and this is gonna be freeing to somebody, even if you can't sing on key, I know that you're called to worship. That's really good news. Somebody should be like, thank God. Some of y'all are full on tone deaf. You don't know we can hear you. Vanessa's up here singing, Waymaker, Miriam. Some of y'all are like, Promise Keeper. Like, you're creating your own melodies. And he loves your worship. The second half of John 4:23 says that you are the worshipers that the Father seeks. When I look at you, I see designed in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, shaped and molded in his image. You're a worshiper. I can tell by the design of who you are as a daughter and son that you're called to worship, even if you can't clap on beat. That's really good news. There's a lot of you, your foot's on, but your hands are off, and you just can't figure it out. Like, you're super white. Like, there's white people, and then there's super white. But I can tell your purpose, and I can tell your design, that you're designed to worship, because we're all created to worship. You want to unlock sustained peace in your life? Worship your way through it. You want to approach the table during the holidays, and you want to approach the table that's normally stressful and anxiety producing, praise your way through it, because praise is a weapon. I'm going to have my Finley come up here real quick. Finn, can you come up here? And this is a little bit spur of the moment, I didn't do this last service. Give Finley a hand, my beautiful freckled gal. The first time I heard Finley worship, we worship as a family every day because you have a choice to either be a thermometer or a thermostat. You can tell the temperature or you can establish the temperature. So my wife and I, we worship as a family every morning. So before school, we turn on worship and we sing as a family. And we fill our home with worship. And I remember the first time I heard Finley sing, it changed the dynamic of my relationship with God. And it unlocked something in me that makes me want to walk out my faith differently. And I'm telling you, it unlocked a sustained peace. Can you sing that song that we were singing in the car, that Give Me Faith song? Can you do this just a cappella?
Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will.
Can we give Finn a hand? Thanks, baby. That was awesome. That's perfect. We're gonna have to just play that back for third service. I don't think I can preach. But when we trust in the Lord and we lean not on our own understanding and we recognize that this faith walk, this sustaining peace walk, this journey around the table walk, it's a walk of faith. And that will unlock sustaining peace. Even if you can't sing on key, worship your way through it. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, I said this a moment ago, that those whose faith, this perfect peace, he'll give us this sustained perfect peace through those faith is firm when it's built on the foundation of the rock, the cornerstone, the foundation of Jesus, you'll begin to unlock sustaining peace in your life. Number two, write this down. To live in peace is to pursue connection. Y'all kicked off another round, another semester, I should say, of connect groups. Y'all call them connect groups, life groups, small groups, cell groups. Which ones? Life groups? Connect groups? To live in peace is to pursue connection. How many of you guys are a part of a life group? Wave at me real quick. Okay, very cool. If you are not a part of a life group, y'all, this is the heartbeat of the local church. This church, Adventure Church, is obviously big enough to serve a community. But life groups make it small enough for you to know each other. We my wife and I lead a marriage group at our church. And our church, we have thousands of people that come every week, over 650 groups all over the city. And we have a group of between 35 and 40 people. And towards the end of one of our nights, the lady told my wife, like, hey, I have surgery coming up Thursday. My wife's like, okay, we're going to pray. And then she rallied our group and said, hey, we want to make sure when Vanessa gets home on Saturday that she has enough diapers and wipes. They have enough DoorDash cards and food. Y'all, they had enough food, wipes, diapers, and everything for almost a month because our team rallied. And she said, I felt valuable. Here's the truth. If you want to go somewhere far, you got to do it together. If you want to get somewhere fast, go alone. The enemy loves isolation. The enemy loves for you to be completely consumed with yourself first. But if you want to go somewhere fast, for sure, go alone. If you want to go somewhere far, choose to go together. I love in Mark chapter 2, there's this moment, maybe if you're a student of the Bible, you'll know this story. There's this moment where this paraplegic's laying on the mat. And we can't, even as pastors, back theologically, if the guys who helped assist him were actually close friends of his. We don't know if they were Facebook friends. We don't know if they knew each other in the community. All we know is this man is laying on the mat in Mark 2, and he's broken. He's at a low place. How many of you guys have ever been in a low place? How many of you guys have been in a low place before and someone helped restore you? Through the power of God's presence, the local church, someone invited you to church. Come and wave at me. Someone got in the way of your storm and pointed you to the one that can save you. Okay, so Mark 2, this guy's laying there. These guys walk by and they're like, hey, bro, Jesus is right down the street doing a life group. This is paraphrased a little bit, but he's in a house doing a Bible study. You should go right over here. He's in this house right here. And every time Jesus gets in the way of someone's storm, they get healed. The guy's like, man, I'm in a low place. I can't move. I'm a paraplegic. I can't walk. These guys could have said, man, well, the next time Jesus does another one of those groups, you should try to make it. we got to go. No, instead they said, hey, everybody grab a corner. Everybody grab a corner. And these four men grabbed each corner of the mat and they took this man, this broken man, to where Jesus was. They tried to go in the front door. The house was too full. They tried to get in the back door. The house was too full. They were like, well, let's try to go through a window. I love their audacious faith. Still too full. They could have set him down and said, bro, so sorry. Like, we got camel races around the corner. We got to get to, we got to go play top golf. Like, no, they were like, I'll tell you what. Let's see if we can get on top of the house. Like the audacious faith of these men to climb on top of the house to hoist this man up. Now in that part of the country, the tile roofs on these places are 7-8 inches deep. This was not a quiet ordeal. Like they're busting through. Like, can you imagine? Like Jesus is in there doing parables, which if you're new to the Bible, sometimes these parables are a little confusing. Like I'm sure the disciples were like, okay, and they're trying to lock in. He's like, if a hen and a half laid an egg and a half in an hour and a half, Peter, how long does it take a monkey with a wooden leg to kick the seeds out of a dill pickle? I don't know, Jesus. I have no idea. So Jesus is in there doing parables. He's preaching the word and boom, boom. Begin to lower this man down where Jesus is speaking. It's the only time in the Bible, Mark chapter 2, Jesus turns and said, it's the faith of your friends. These guys said, when you're in a low place, we're better together. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron as one friend sharpens a friend. You want to be able to approach this table. You want to be able to walk in sustained peace. Don't do life alone. Life really does move at the speed of relationships. And last but not least, number three, write this down. To live in peace is to look from a different angle. Now this is a little bit more obscure. The walk of faith, you get it, I get that. To be intentional about pursuing connection, that makes sense, thanks Daniel. To look at life from a different angle? The truth is, we have gotten so caught up in this. God never intended for us to be this self-consumed. Everything is about the gram and Facebook and TikTok and followers and likes. Like I put a salmon salad up and I only got 7 likes. I don't understand. Stop doing that. Everything has gotten here. Like, let's get a quick picture. Like, hashtag marriage goals. Like, your bangs look fine, Sheila. Just take 2 pictures. You're good. But we've gotten caught here, and we've gotten caught in the me, myself, and I trap. And here's the truth. I can't see you if I'm so consumed with seeing me. Comparison is the thief of joy. It muddies the waters of your ability to walk in peace because you get caught up in the errs. They seem happier. She seems prettier. He seems funnier. You get caught up in this trap that says you're never going to be good enough. You're always going to be damaged goods. You're always going to be overlooked and undervalued. And you get caught here. Pastor Kyle gets up and says, we're going to break ground. We're going to build a building. And you're like, that's awesome. I hope somebody comes across your path to sow into that, to serve into that. And God said, no, I want you to be a part of this, to walk in this type of sustaining peace that we have access to. We have to get the attention off of us. John chapter 3 verse 30 says, I need you to increase. I need you to become greater and greater as I decrease. See, when I take the attention off of me and I start to live life looking from a different angle, I no longer am focused on me, but I'm focused on you. So I can see you. I can sow into that. I can serve. I can stop sitting on the sidelines and be a part of the dream team. I can go through, what is your process here? Growth track? What is it called? So you walk out the next steps to be a part of what God's doing here. But if you're so consumed here, then you'll just be a consumer. You'll just be a spectator. You'll come in, slip in, drink some free coffee and slip out. And God's saying, I've never asked you to sit on the sidelines. You want to unlock sustained peace in your life? Serve. Be a part of what God is doing. Not only attend a life group, but lead a life group. We have to start looking at life from a different angle. The Bible says in 1 John 4:11, dear friends, since God loved us this much, we must love each other. Luke 10:27 says, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's very difficult to love someone else when you haven't first received that love yourself, because it's out of the overflow of the love that you've received that I can love you. It's difficult to love out of an empty place. There's a statistic, I talked about it last service, that said in Americanized Christianity, that's us, and these are pre-COVID numbers, that there has been something that has been in decline the past 10 years. Number one, they said that the average Christian in America is no longer passionate about the things of God. They said that a third of the people that left church during COVID will never come back. If you're watching online, come home. Come back. Get back in the house of God. We see you at Old Navy. Come back to church. I say these things. I'm a guest, right? You're going to have to clean all this up next week. I saw you at Red Lobster. Come back to adventure. Lie to a friend. Say it's an adventure bounce house. And then you show up in his church where it's an adventure to walk in the journey of your relationship with God. But they say passion is in decline. People are no longer hungry for the things of God, which is no wonder why we're just surviving the table, because we have no relationship to carry us through life. John 10:10 says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give us life and life more abundantly. You can control the narrative and the temperature of this table when you walk in his presence. Everything you need, you have access to in his presence. Matthew 6:33, seek first, above all else, your first priority, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The second thing they say is in decline is compassion. That people no longer see other people. That we're so consumed with ourselves that I can't see you. Everywhere Jesus went, he was compassionate. He loved people, and he recognized there was healing in his hands. Y'all, there's healing in your hands. There are people's lives connected to your assignment. So the enemy knows if I can rip her off, if I can rob him of his joy, not only does he rip you off, but all the people connected to your purpose. You want to unlock sustaining peace in your life? Serve, sow, and love others, and really lean into his presence. Will you stand on your feet as we bring this in for a landing? One of my favorite verses is found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 and 26. Bible theologians say that this is the greatest blessing. It's the benediction. We've all heard it. You've heard it quoted. Lift your hands towards heaven. God, I pray for a sustaining peace to unlock in every family, every individual. Come on, lift your hands as a sign of surrender. Nobody's going to take anything from you. Maybe denominationally it was weird for you to lift your hands. It's literally a sign of surrender to God. This is the verse. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he turn his countenance towards you. And may he give you supernatural, sustaining peace that surpasses all understanding. There's rest in this. There's a breath of his presence in this. There's a fresh wind behind your sail in this. And all you have to do to really unlock this faith walk, to really unlock this connection walk, to really unlock this sustaining peace in your life, is to make room and surrender. If you're here today and you say, Daniel, the truth is I don't have peace because I have so many things happening in my life that's robbing me of my joy. Some of y'all are caught up in some things that aren't connected to your assignments, and you're busy, but it's not your business. And God's saying, release that. Just surrender that. Make room for me to move in your life. Vanessa, let's sing that song.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
Come on, sing that out, see.
I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. I will make room. I will make room for you, oh Jesus. To do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to. I will make room. I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to. To do whatever.
Come on, one more time. Lift your hands and sing that out. Sing.
I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to. To do whatever you want to, Jesus. I will make room for you.
Now look at me real quick. Father, I thank you today for your presence. Look at me real quick. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're in the room. You say, Daniel, the truth is I have not been walking in sustained peace. I've literally been living in that short-lived, flickering, fleeting, staccato moments of peace. It's gotten me through some seasons, but I need this sustained peace to get me through every season. The truth is the foundation of this sustained peace is Jesus. And maybe you're in here today. Maybe someone invited you. Maybe somebody said, come try church again. Maybe you showed up and this whole experience has been a little uncomfortable, but something has been convincing you of the fact that you've been living your life for you. And you know today you need to surrender it to Jesus. Here at Adventure Church, and I can say this as family, we don't pray prayers for symbolic reasons, but we pray according to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. It says, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. I'm going to count to three in just a moment. And you say, Daniel, I want to give my life to Jesus for the first time today. On three, I want you to lift up your hand. Or maybe you're the second invitation. You say, Daniel, I have no peace in my life because I used to walk with Jesus, but I fell away. I got caught up in the prodigal life. And honestly, I've been living pretty reckless because I've been living for me. But today is the day at 11:03 on the 17th of October. I want to surrender my life to Jesus again and rededicate my life. So when I count to three, whether you're the first time or you want to rededicate, I want you to lift up your hand. I'm looking all over the room. Can you turn up the house lights just a little bit? One, I want to give my life to Jesus. Two, today's my day. Three, if that's you, lift up your hand. I'm looking all over the room. I see you, buddy. I see you, I see you, I see you. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I see you. Eight in the back. I see you. Nine, I see you right here. 10. Thanks, man. You put your hand up. Anybody else? Join my 10 friends. I see you over here. 11. Incredible. Today's my day. I want to unlock sustaining peace in my life. Today's my day. I don't want to just survive life or sink and just get through cruise control through life. I want to thrive in life. I want to live a life that's more abundant. Anybody else, if you're online, you can type yes to Jesus. Join my 11 friends right now before we pray. Wave at me if you're talking. You're talking about me, Daniel. Today's my day. I want to rededicate my life. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want God to unlock that peace in my life today. You're invited to the table. You're invited to the table of his presence. You have access to this type of peace. You have access to this type of abundant life. You have access to this type of joy and courage and perseverance and fight. You have access. The access is through Jesus. Before we pray, wave at me. I'm waiting on somebody. Maybe it's online. Looking all over the room. Anybody else before we pray? Can everybody pray this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, it's me. I've been living for me and it hasn't worked. From today on, I choose to live for you. Please forgive me for all my mistakes, all my struggles, all my selfish motivations. I surrender it all. Thank you for giving me peace. That's a gift from you that sustains me. From this moment on, I'm choosing to live for you. You are my Father, you are my Savior, and you are my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Adventure Church, give God praise. Thanks, buddy.